And one talent that I absolutely do not have, but I like seeing the finished product of, I enjoy seeing the product of, is someone who has restored an old car, right? Has taken one of those rust buckets and began to tinker and to mold and to fashion it until it's an unveiled project. And I've had the opportunity a couple of times of being able to see someone who's taken a dilapidated vehicle and to turn it into something beautiful, the way that it was meant to be, and maybe even a little bit better than the original, with a couple of tweaks and new things that just add to the flavor a little bit. What a beautiful project. How many of you are with me that you wouldn't have a clue where to start, but you enjoy seeing the finished product, right? So many of us. And those of you who have that ability and have that talent, keep it up, because I think it really demonstrates what we want to talk about tonight. And it's a good illustration as we look into God's Word. Let's have a word of prayer as we look into the Word of God tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Word and for what it teaches us. And Lord, I just pray that as we look into your Word, as we dive in, as we try to understand it, I pray that you will help it make sense to us. Dig into our hearts, stir up the soil of our souls, and grow in us something that will make a difference on eternity, that will be a benefit for your kingdom. May your Holy Spirit work through the words of the Scripture, for it's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been talking in Colossians chapter 3 about how the order here doesn't fit the natural way we talk, the natural way we do things. And usually when we tell the story of what's going on, we read it past, present, future. Right now, I'm reading this book, and as I'm diving into this book, it confuses me sometimes, but I kind of understand what the author was trying to do, because he'll go to the future and he'll tell a little bit of the story, and then he'll go to the past and he'll tell some of the story, and he'll come back into the, but it confuses me. And here, Paul wasn't trying to confuse the believers. He had a real point of what he wanted to do, because when he talks to the believers in this church, he says, let's talk about your future and what Christ intends for you. And then let's deal with the past and get rid of it. And let's begin to work and to mold you in the present. And I think that's a good thing for us as believers to do. So that's what we've done. 3 weeks ago, we looked at our future. The future that God has intended for us. And our future is in Christ. Our home is in heaven. And we look forward and we long for that day when our faith, it's finally all going to come together. And heaven is tangible. Oh, right now, heaven is real for us believers. We long for it, we look for it, but we haven't gotten there yet. You ever anticipated? I know when I remember being a kid, and I've always been somebody that's had a hard time sleeping, but the night before vacation, or if we were going to an amusement park the next day, or if we were going to North Carolina, I couldn't sleep. And I laid there in bed, and I just pondered and pondered that trip. And I thought about it, and I couldn't wait to go there. But it wasn't tangible until I actually got to the gate of that amusement park, got my hands stamped, and began riding the rides. We're at that point in our lives where we're waiting for our future. And maybe you can't sleep at night because you're excited or you're anxious or you're waiting, you're longing for your heavenly home. And you're worried about the trip. But heaven's coming. And Jesus Christ has prepared the way. Then we looked at our past. And last week we talked about that carpet in our house that we need to tear up, rip out, and get rid of because it's causing us harm. It's doing us damage. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. We need to throw it in the dumpster. And thank God in heaven that Jesus Christ took care of our past. But let's leave the past in the past. And now, as we look to our future and what we need to be doing today, we need to have those things taken care of first. And then we can begin dealing with the present, the here and now. We need to know our future destination. We need to know that our past is taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then our hearts are prepared. The soil has been prepped so that we can look at our present life being the image of Christ. Let's read in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. It says, "And have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." As I look at this passage of Scripture, God does things in the lives of those who would choose to follow Him backwards from what we think as natural. Because we tend to think that if you have something and you leave it alone, it is going to get old. As a matter of fact, we make laws about that. In school, we talk about how things left to themselves tend towards disorder. And when we begin talking about creation and how there must have been a designer, a creator, a sustainer of this universe, we bring that up. This world isn't getting better, it's wearing down. Everything that we see around us is heading towards decay unless something comes like that body man who comes and fixes that car and makes it beautiful. Unless some outside force comes and fixes it up, it's just going to rust. It's going to grow old. This world is wearing out. And for the believer, maybe it feels like this physical body, this vessel that God has given to us. In the Hebrew, the word is called golem, the empty vessel. I don't know. I was a fan. My father got me into reading the J.R.R. Tolkien books when I was a kid. But J.R.R. Tolkien, a believer in Jesus Christ, he was very intelligent with his use of words. And when he came up with that creature, Gollum, that chases Frodo around, it wasn't by mistake. Because he's talking about how the pride and the sin and the filth of this world will leave you empty and lifeless. And this vessel that we inhabit, this Gollum, it's wearing out. But God's not concerned with this outward appearance. Because He's going to give us a new body one day. Right now, He's working on that soul and spirit and making it new. Sin has left it old, falling apart. But that's not what Christ, or God, Jesus Christ, they intended us to be. You see here in this passage, it says that put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Living as the image, that word ikon that we saw already, the ikon of Christ, that was the same word that Paul used when he was talking about Jesus Christ being the image of the Father. And we are to be the image of Christ, who is the image of the Father. So that when the world looks at someone who believes in Jesus Christ, they should be looking at Christ, who is looking at, who, when they look at Christ, they should be looking at God the Father. And guess what? Like that body man who wants to take that rust bucket and turn it into something beautiful. And he wants to restore it to the way it looked when it came off the floor. When it's talking here about how Christ wants us to be the image of him who created him. When God wants that for us, he wants to begin by restoring our souls to the way that he intended them to be. And then one day he's going to take and he's going to put us in a new vessel, in a new body, and make us completely the way he intended us to be. Let's go back and let's look at Genesis chapter 1, a passage that maybe a lot of you are very, very familiar with. But when we're thinking about this, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Because as God is creating the world, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 3 it says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good." In verse 6, he said, "Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. In verse 9 it says, "Let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give the light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind. and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And so as we see here what's going on, at God is painting a picture of the way he created this earth, and he says that it's good. And I read all that to say what God is doing here is he's putting us up, giving us a picture of a showroom. But that showroom isn't complete without that car that they're trying to sell. That brand new car that's going to drive right in and be the centerpiece of that showroom. And I'm sure the day before the cars arrive, the dealers look as the cars are coming in and they say, well, this place is pretty good. And it's good. Yeah, it's good. But what's intended is that car to come into the showroom to be put on display. And as we look in verse 26, we read an amazing verse in the Bible. And when people get away from this truth, we begin to see just mankind take a nosedive. And things like insecurity, pride, anger, hatred come into the picture. As we read verse 26, it says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And then in verse 31, it says, Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So when we read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, where it says, Put on the new man, and live out as if you are the image of Christ. So that when people look at you, they are looking at Jesus Christ. That was the way you were intended to be from the beginning. And all God's saying is, I want to restore you to what I intended you to be. And then sin entered the world, and entropy started, and this whole thing became corrupted. And if we could picture sin as rust over our bodies, our mind, and souls, it began to destroy us and turn us into something old, used, dilapidated. But what Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross and he rose again, and he begs you to live a new life. He says, go back to being what I intended you to be from the beginning. I wanted you to be Genesis 1, 26 and 27, living the image of God. But then sin came and it corrupted the image. And the seed wars began. And as you read through the Bible, The image is corrupted. The image is corrupted. The image is corrupted. Until it begins to resemble nothing like what the Creator had intended from the beginning. And so now as we find salvation in Jesus Christ and He begins to take care of that sin problem, He begins to transform us and change us into something new. And that image has been wrecked pretty good. And as we go back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, Colossians 3 and verse 11, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free. But Christ is all and in all. And we see things that begin to divide relationships. And so he says, as the body of Christ, as people who are trying to live and be the image of Christ, there are all these barriers that are destroying you. And if we were to look around our world today, we'd see the same types of barriers destroying the relationships that that we have with other people. Some of those relationships you'll see here, Greek nor Jew. We see racial division. Do we see racial division in our world today? Yeah. Circumcised nor uncircumcised. The point he's trying to make is that there is spiritual division among people. Oh yeah, there's spiritual division. The devil wants his best to take these differences between people and to divide them. Barbarian or Scythian, a social division. And slave nor free, an economic division. I found that kind of interesting as I was reading and studying. Although it's not like Paul's just coming out and just saying, he's attacking the different social statuses that divide people. But what's he say there at the end there? Christ is all and in all. If someone were to walk into this church or to see us interact with other people, would he see the image of Christ? Or would he see these divisions that divide? And you see that Satan is trying to use all of these things to destroy the image of Christ that God intended for each and every person inside of these walls and outside of these walls to bear. The image of Christ is for us, and that's what we should look like. But that's what God intended our neighbor to look like. That's what God intended someone who we might look down on to be like. But Jesus Christ is what's most important. And I love it in the scriptures how Jesus Christ dealt with those issues. The number one thing I think about when I think about the division of whether it be racial class, social class, spiritual class, or economic class is his relationship with the Samaritans. I love those verses, those words in John chapter 4. He needed to go through Samaria as if he had to go with a purpose. And he talked to that Samaritan woman with all the differences that they had. And I've gone through with kids as I've taught the book of John, and I said, basically, all these problems that you see Jesus talking about here are differences that Jesus and the Samaritan woman had. Whether they be racial, social, spiritual, economic, probably all of them. were differences between Jesus and that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. But Jesus went to her and offered her eternal life. He showed her what the image of God looked like. And it changed her life, and it changed that whole community's life as they came out to see that what Jesus Christ was all about. And it says that because of what they heard Jesus, they believed in him. What an amazing thing. And so that by the time you come around to John chapter 10, and the Pharisees are so mad at Jesus, they're so upset with him, they start yelling at him, and they call him, "You Samaritan, you have a demon in you." Jesus wasn't a Samaritan, but they were so upset with him, and they'd seen what he had done to go out and show the image of God to the world around him, that they were yelling at him, calling him this filthy Samaritan. And I've always suggested, because some people, they have this idea that this book here is for like white middle class people. But I find nothing like that in the scriptures. This book is for sinners who need a savior. And as they talk about that, I always kind of lead and say that Jesus Christ, it says in the book of Hebrews, was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He experienced every problem that we could ever face, and he dealt with it in a way that just amazed the world. And the way he dealt with different racial classes, social classes, spiritual classes, and economic classes proved that he was willing to bear the image of God and the story of eternal life to anyone who would listen. Because Christ was all and in all. And that was so important to him. And so when people look at us, do they see something new? A new community? A new identity in Christ? That we're here to live for Christ and to be changed into the image of his Son. Now, as we think about this topic, I think some people, they might think that this is some new inclusive, just let everybody into the faith. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. I still believe that there is one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We all have a problem in our souls and in our hearts, and that problem is sin. And there is only one way to deal with that problem, and that is at the feet of Jesus Christ and with his shed blood on the cross and his victory over sin and death and hell from the grave. But Jesus Christ died for everyone. And all sinners everywhere who are in need of and who desire to want to be brought back to the image of God, and they feel like their life is that rust bucket falling apart, all they have to do is come to the feet of Jesus, find their future to be in his salvation that he offers on the cross, and the Holy Spirit will begin to mold and to change and to transform, no matter who they are, into the image of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are and for the lessons that you teach us in your word. I thank you for the life that you've given us and that you are molding us daily into the image of your Son. I pray that as we leave this place this week, that you will help us to live for you, to look to our neighbor who might look differently than us, and to live as you would in front of them, so that when they see us, they will see Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that that you will mold us and fashion us into what we were intended to be. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.